governments and peoples, they are all suffering from the presence of a cancer, of a tumor, which is called the Zionist entity or Israel. A tumor and also a terrorist state, a hostile entity and a bacteria of corruption and also a source of hegemony. Israel for decades was as such, but over the past few years Israel has once again begun to behave as it used to before, and even more corruption, more arrogance, more hegemony, more such behavior. I don't want to refer to what has happened since 1948 until today. Let's speak about now, the days we're living in, the past few months, or at least this year. In Palestine, in addition to the fact that Israel still occupies territory and sanctities in an unjust way, it is also invading the West Bank and is also, it waged a destructive war on Gaza for 52 days, whereby it committed the ugliest massacres, and it is still besieging the Strip. It is also violating the sanctities, and it is seriously threatening the Al-Aqsa Mosque. It holds thousands of Palestinians in prisons under very harsh circumstances. It does not grant the most basic human rights to the Palestinians. And you can also add others. In Syria, in addition to the fact that it still occupies the Golan Heights and has been occupying it for decades, it is taking advantage of the current war in the ugliest way, using it, and it is providing clear support for the armed Takfiri groups with the aim of destroying Syria and its army and in the day of light, it destroys the positions of the Syrian army and it launches air raids deep into Syrian territory under different justifications. And in Lebanon, in addition to the continuation of its occupation of the Lebanese Shub'a farms, Israel doesn't recognize Resolution 1701, which some of us worship. Look at the UN reports, not the report of the Lebanese government or the Lebanese resistance. Thousands of violations, of Israeli violations. They don't recognize it, whether by from air, land or sea. And it also bombs when it likes, it bombs when it wants, like it did in Jonta. And it assassinates as it wishes, like we saw with the assassination of Haj Hassan Laqis. And Lebanon is always in danger. The Israelis today are in a situation, they were and they still are, of course this requires us to address the situation. The Israelis are in a situation whereby they feel they are capable of threatening all sides, all governments, all peoples, all armies in the region, and they believe that they are capable of launching aggressions also against all sides whenever they want, day, night, assassinations, bombings, warplanes. They think that they can do as they wish. Nothing prevents them, and nothing is standing against their aggressions. Of course, they are benefiting, the Israel benefits a lot from the circumstances in the region, the current wars, especially in the neighboring countries, and the preoccupation of the armies of the region and the resistance movements of the region, the very sharp divisions in the public opinion in the Arab and Islamic world, and also the disagreements and divisions in these societies and in these countries, and also a complete absence of the Arab states, and allow me to say, the so-called Arab League. This is absent. It doesn't even, not just absent, it doesn't even exist. And this is nothing new in our understanding. Never did we rely on such institutions. However, it is becoming clear more and more, more than ever before. I say this to the Palestinian people, Lebanese people, Syrian people, the people of the region, and to the Arab people, there is nothing, no such thing as Arab states, no such thing, unfortunately, as the Arab League. Some people might exaggerate and say there's no Arabs, but no, there are Arabs. However, there is no Arab League. However, those who fight and stand with firmness and confront this challenge in Lebanon, Palestine and Syria, they're Arabs. They are the sons of this area, the people of this region. Yes, there is no existence for those Arabs, whether it be Arab money or Arab weapons or Arab media or Arab League of Nations, nor is there presence of an independent Arab decision. Of course, they open up 1 million fronts against Iran and against others, which doesn't even exist, because they are defending against something which doesn't even exist. There is no Arab decision, independent decision. Yes, it is absent when the battle is against Israel. However, when the battle is within the Arab countries, when the fighting is in Syria or within Iraq or within Yemen or within Libya, or as we're seeing now within the Sinai Peninsula, then Arab money is present, Arab weapons are present, Arab media is present, and we find some Arab figures who come to surface. This is nothing new. The experience of the unjust war on Gaza last year bears witness to the absence of Arab money and Arab media and Arab weapons and the Arab League of Nations, etc., etc. This is our current situation. Our situation in which the latest events have occurred and the regional events are occurring. And Israel is being confronted by resistance movements in Palestine and in Lebanon, and also by the resistance axis throughout the region, in addition to Syria and Iran. Within such an atmosphere, within such an environment, within such a situation of the enemy and the friend, we witnessed the assassination operation in Quneitra. And here I will begin to talk about the third main topic of the speech. On Sunday, the 18th of January 2015, between 11:30 and 11:45 a.m., Israeli helicopters in broad daylight targeted two civilian cars which were transporting seven of our colleagues, which led to their martyrdom. They were there on a field trip. Now, up until this moment, although it became clear a few days ago, up until this moment, the assassination operation, the background of it has become clear. When, by what the Israelis said or what they leaked, because up until now, officially, they're still in a state of loss. No, this decision was taken in the cabinet, the prime minister's office, and it was also said that the head of the Israeli opposition was informed of this decision as a result of the sensitivity and importance of this operation. This means that the enemy sat down and looked into this issue and made the calculations and gathered the information and estimated the dangers and then took decisions and then went ahead and carried out the assassination. What happened in Quneitra is an assassination. That's clear. So that puts an end to what actually took place, because some analysts in the aftermath and some media outlets said that what happened was that the our brothers lost their route or actually went after a certain line which is sensitive for the Israelis, but all of this is not true. What is true is the following. we have an Israeli decision to target this group. And this decision was made, God only knows, 1 week ago, 2, 3 months ago, God only knows. The timing of the decision is not clear, but the decision was made at the highest levels in the enemy's entity, and the opposition leader in Israel was informed, and they were waiting for the hour of action, and the time came on Sunday. So we witnessed a public, an open assassination operation in broad daylight. There is nothing which is suspicious. I will be clear to you today because there are some things which we want to be clear about. Now, for example, when the assassination operation of Hassan Laqis was carried out, some could have said then, you're saying Israel, who says it's Israel? Okay, in that case, I could say that there could be some suspicions, but we are convinced that Israel and all the information points to Israel, and this will be completed. However, from the beginning, maybe some could say it's not clear. Why do you quickly jump to that conclusion? However, we witnessed a clear assassination operation in broad daylight, which is completely similar, very much the same as the assassination operation of our leader and our beloved Sayyid Abbas Musawi and his wife Yasir and their son Hussein in broad daylight as well. That operation is very similar. It's the same as this one. It's no coincidence. It's no mistake. Sayyid Abbas didn't get lost on the road. No, it's clear. Of course, this description will lead to results. I'm not just trying to fill up time. It's not my job to analyze. I'm saying this in order to reach a conclusion and issue the stance. Now, the Israelis did not claim responsibility for the operation on the 18th of January, on Sunday. And up until now, I don't know if there is an official claim of responsibility from the Israelis because they're still stalling. When they speak about it, they say that the operation which Israel is assumed to have carried out, or which Israel is accused of carrying out. So there's some stalling. Maybe the Israelis assumed that Hezbollah will absorb the operation, won't announce it, and won't say the Israelis killed us. And maybe because if Hezbollah says the Israelis killed us in Quneitra in front of its supporters and in front of the people, in light of deterrence and the rules of the game, Hezbollah would be in a very difficult position. And now Hezbollah is preoccupied and is also confused and weakened and exhausted. In addition, sometimes when we read what is being written about us, we feel sorrow towards those who are writing. Are they feeling that much pain for our sake? Maybe they assumed that Hezbollah would absorb the operation, and okay, I lost martyrs in Syria. Okay, we're losing martyrs. This is nothing hidden. This is something which took place in broad daylight, and we are proud of those martyrs, and we raise our heads high, and we consider them as the martyrs of resistance and the path to Al-Quds. The Israelis maybe assumed that Hezbollah would say they were martyred in Syria, just like the others who were martyred in Syria, and then would disassociate itself from any political repercussions or repercussions related to the rules of the game, etc. And so maybe the Israelis up until now, once again, maybe the colleagues know, but they haven't claimed responsibility. I believe that the first surprise from Hezbollah to the Israelis was that just half an hour after the operation, Hezbollah officially announced the first statement that a group of Hezbollah fighters who were inspecting an area in Quneitra were subject to an attack by Israeli helicopters, which led to casualties, and the names of the martyrs will be announced soon. On the same day, we announced the names of the martyrs, 7, 6 plus 1, who was our beloved, the General Abdullah Dadi, who deserves to be higher than a general. Here, between brackets, We didn't hide our martyrs, nor did we put them aside. We don't also decrease the number. Between brackets, I say to the whole world, to the enemy, friend, to the rival, to those who are against us, to those who love us, when 50 martyrs fall, we say 50 martyrs and we say their names. When there are 5 martyrs, we say these are 5 martyrs, these are their names, and we are proud of them. So let us put this aside.